those who have a severe mental illness are more likely to end up behind bars. And for those with substance abuse problems, like a lot of mentally ill inmates, the risk goes way up. They're also more likely to end up back in jail a second time, and a third. It's part of a downward cycle of mental illness, addiction, and incarceration that's hard to break. Studies show connecting former offenders with medical care helps them stay out of jail. But as WFAE's Dana Miller Irvin reports in this third installment of the series Fractured, former inmates are falling through the cracks.
When I walk into Angel Chavez's modest Ashboro home, I'm immediately greeted by three generations of family and their dogs.
That's my son's dog.
Among them is Chavez's 25-year-old son, Anthony Muckenfuss.
Bent. Come here, Bent. Come here, Bent. He's a good boy.
He's on house arrest, and he's wearing an ankle monitor. Muckenfuss was released 6 weeks earlier on August 15th from the Randolph County Detention Center. He served time for possession of drugs and counterfeit $100 bills. It's a familiar routine.
Over the past 8 years, I've probably been in jail a little over six of that.
Muckenfuss has been transferred from one jail to another, serving time in four counties. Court records show he's been charged with dozens of robberies, larcenies, and other property crimes. All, he says, to support his expensive drug habit. He appears to be a gentle, doting grandson as he hovers over his 80-year-old grandmother.
You see Callie, the kitten, the cat? She's beautiful.
But when he's high on meth, Muckenfuss says he's violent. Like the time he used a knife to hold up a Greensboro Home Depot during an intense rush of a meth-fueled euphoria. Muckenfuss says he got an early start on drugs. By age 11, he was abusing his sleepwalking medication. Then he says he started to smoke weed. By age 16, he moved to cocaine, then methamphetamine, and then a $200-a-day heroin habit. His mother, Angel Chavez, said her son's personality changed when he was about eight, and everything got a lot worse when he began to use drugs.
It seemed like it spiraled out of control after that, going in and out of jail and getting into trouble, and he wasn't himself.
Like many addicted inmates, Muckenfuss has a serious mental illness. Years later, he would be diagnosed with schizophrenia. He was 7 or 8 years old when the voices started. He says they told him to hurt himself. At first, he made little cuts that wouldn't show.
It's like a little bitty here and there. Nothing that wouldn't be too noticeable, but it would kind of take the feeling away a little bit.
Tell me what it means to take the feeling away.
When I cut or self-injury, you know, it gives me a good feeling. It takes my mind off whatever strong emotion I'm feeling. And it helps me focus on something else.
His arms are covered with scars. He says most of them are from cutting, but some are from bites. It was harder for him to get a razor in jail, so he swallowed things, like spoons and ballpoint pens, his medical records show. He said surgery to remove all the things he swallowed. One time, he pulled out the sutures holding together his abdomen. So the jail sent him to a special safekeeping unit at the local prison, which houses offenders jails can't handle. He was suicidal. One time, he was found hanging in his cell. Sometimes, jails would put him in isolation to keep him safe, but that made it worse, he says. So he'd find a way to hurt himself.
Sometimes I do it to lash out at them for something they've done to me, like being locked down in a cell 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Yeah, that really messes with you after a while.
Muckenfuss's attorney, Richard Wells, says he was given the drug clozapine to lessen the hallucinations. It's one of the best medications for some people with schizophrenia, but some jails don't have it on the list of drugs they provide, in part because those who take it require close supervision. Muckenfuss got a lot worse when he couldn't get it.
So you were swallowing stuff so they would get you clozapine?
Yeah.
Because you were so mad.
Yeah, not just necessarily mad. I just wanted to be who I knew I could be while on that medication.
Research shows when former offenders with serious mental illnesses get treatment and medication, they're less likely to end up back in jail. But when Muckenfuss got out of jail, he didn't have insurance, and he didn't qualify for Medicaid. Under North Carolina rules, single adults without children must be blind, elderly, pregnant, or disabled in order to get Medicaid. Muckenfuss might have been able to get Medicaid coverage by qualifying for disability benefits. But he didn't know that, and nobody told him. Muckenfuss did qualify for 10 minutes a week of telehealth with a nurse practitioner. The jail referred him to the provider, and the local managed care organization in his area, Sandhill Center, paid for that. Without insurance, Muckenfuss had trouble paying for the medication he needed to control his hallucinations. He was prescribed a new medication, which wasn't clozapine, and that cost more than $250 a month. Muckenfuss says he's been rationing some clozapine from an earlier prescription.
I've been taking a little bit of it here and there just to kind of keep myself even, because, like I said, I can't afford the other medication they're trying to prescribe me.
Do you hallucinate? Tell me what happens.
Like, especially at nighttime, sometimes I think I'll hear stuff outside, or I'm thinking people's out there. I'll be like looking out the window, or I'll see shadows in my room.
And this is part of the abyss people fall into when they're released from prisons and jails.
That's University of North Carolina Medical School professor Dr. Evan Ashkin. He says ex-offenders with chronic illnesses frequently end up back in jail when they can't access all the care they need. That's true even in states which have expanded Medicaid. And it may be especially true for people with severe mental illnesses, like Muckenfuss. Data shows they have a better chance of staying on the outside when they're connected to benefits, like Social Security. But they have to know how to apply.
Many, many people do not understand how the system works. Why would we expect someone in and out of incarceration with severe mental illness to be able to advocate for themselves without some type of case management navigator?
Navigators are critical, Ashkin says. He started the North Carolina Formerly Incarcerated Transition Program in 6 counties to help offenders transition back into society. It's part of a national program, but it doesn't operate in Randolph County, where Muckenfuss is from. Each ex-offender gets a primary care doctor and a community health worker who's a former offender. They help newly released inmates develop a reentry plan, and they help them access medicine, transportation to appointments, education, employment, and housing if they need it.
Without that kind of assistance, the climb is too steep, and most people fail, and they're just back in the system.
Most of the former inmates in his program are homeless, Ashkin says.
You know, what do you do if you're living in a tent or you're in a shelter? Oftentimes you have to be out at 6 a.m. Where do you keep your meds? Are you able to hang on to them?
When medicine is lost or stolen, symptoms recur. Then they're back on the street, Ashkin says. Passerbys get upset and someone calls the police. The next stop is jail. But Muckenfuss told me last September he was determined to stay out of jail this time, even without insurance or someone to help him navigate the system. He was making calls to get into a drug rehabilitation program. They were expensive, he said, but he was making plans.
Well, I think I'm going to start with the small goals first. Obviously, I want to get into a rehab. Stuff like getting my GED, something I've never done. I definitely want to find a trade and maybe one day start a family when I got my stuff together. Just kind of live a normal-ish life.
But money was tight. Last winter, Muckenfuss got a job at Carolina Custom Finishing instead of going to rehab. He spoke with his therapist, and she helped him get more affordable medicine. His mother told me he was working hard, going online to get his GED, and doing great. Then he stopped returning my calls. For weeks, I searched the lists of inmates in local jails, but he wasn't there. In early March, I got an email from Muckenfuss's attorney. He had not reported to work one day. His brother found him dead in his bed. The autopsy isn't complete, but his mother believes he died of a drug overdose. For WFAE News, I'm Dana Miller Irvin.
The series was edited by Greg Collard and Aaron Texera. Our researcher is Mona Dugani. The podcast is edited and produced by me, Eric Thiel, at WFAE in Charlotte. Fractured is a collaboration between WFAE and the PBS series Frontline through its local journalism initiative, which is funded by the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.